Do you think that God is for you or against you? I think there's two misconceptions of God that are out there. There's one misconception of God that thinks that God is pretty much against everyone. Rather like that sort of inaccurate description of Puritanism, that Puritans were people who thought they had this suspicion there might be someone somewhere who's having some fun and they were ready to stop it. Maybe that's your view of God. That you would want to hide away from him because he might discover things about your life and probably the things that are the best things about your life and he'd want to stop them. A sort of headmaster, a Victorian headmaster view of God. That he's all about lots of rules and he's trying to catch you out to show you how you've broken them. That's one view of God out there. Is that your view of God? He's against everyone? Another view of God out there is the view of God that God is for everyone. He's not a headmaster, he's a grandfather. The sort of grandfather who can spoil you all day long and then send you back to your parents. You have to deal with awkward things like discipline. And the grandfather can just bestow upon you blessing after blessing after blessing. It was a great joy to be with my father, to see him bestow blessing after blessing upon my children yesterday. And then hand them back to us at the end of the day. Is that your view of God? A God who is absolutely positive about everything about us and ignores the things that even we in our own lives find distasteful. In biblical language, a way to talk about this is God's approval is described as his blessing. Do you remember from last week's sermon as we were thinking about blessing in Deuteronomy chapter 11, where Amal described blessing, God's blessing, as God's favorable presence to do good to us. God's favorable presence to do good to us. And that is God's blessing. It was a good definition. But the Bible also has another word of another attitude that God has towards people. And it's not blessing, it's curse. God's disfavorable, unfavorable presence. Not to do good to us, but to punish that which is wrong and evil. And if we're to understand who God is, we can't just pick one of those two Bible words. We desperately need to understand both of them, and we need to understand, where do we stand, each one of us? Am I under God's blessing or under God's curse? And to help us to examine this and other questions, please turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're taking on straight from where Armel left off last week. It's on page 190 in the Church Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 11. This is the last in a series of sermons we've had on the summer on those first 11 chapters of Deuteronomy. And you'll see, I think, why we're finishing here in the series as we look at verses 26 to the end. That's verse 32. If you're not used to reading the Bible, when I say chapter, I mean the big numbers and then the verses are the little numbers. They're just the kind of our way, we find our way around the Bible to show the chapters and verses. So Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning at verse 26. Let's hear what God is saying to us in his word this morning. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from the way I command you today by following other gods, which you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land you're entering to possess, You are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessings, and on Mount Ebal the curses. As you know, these mountains are across the Jordan, westward, towards the setting sun, near the great trees of Moreh, in the territory of those Canaanites living in the Arabah, in the vicinity of Gilgal. You are about to cross the Jordan to enter and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. When you've taken it over and are living there, be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws I am setting before you today. Well, as we look at this passage, and we look at this passage particularly in the light of how Jesus talks about blessings and curses in the New Testament, we need each of us to examine ourselves. We desperately need to know the answer to that question. Am I under God's blessing or am I under God's curse? And what should I do about it? So number one, if you're taking notes, is the first point. We must understand God's blessing and God's curse. We must understand God's blessing and God's curse. Have a look down again at verse 26. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from the way that I command you today by following other gods, which you have not known. Do you realize that God's blessing is the place that you were designed for? I wonder if you've ever felt homesick for a place that you've never been. This is the place that all our hearts long for. In the very first chapter of the Bible, immediately after God creates human beings, he blesses them. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then the very next words, Genesis 1, 28, God blessed them. This is what we were made to be as human beings made in God's image. People designed to live under God's blessing. To live with God's favorable presence to do us good. That's the only place that we will feel at home. And we may run around trying to seek the blessings of the world in all kinds of ways, but none of them will leave us feel secure and at home for very long. I wonder if you found that in your life. Seeking the approving presence of people less than God that satisfies only for a while. And that's if they continue to approve of you. And in the Old Testament, God's blessing, God's favorable presence is often shown in physical ways. And so this idea of blessing and curse in the latter part of the book of Deuteronomy is expanded at great length. And the blessings are expanded in chapter 28 in great length. I'm just going to read a few verses to show how they're shown physically in the Old Testament. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herd, and the lambs of your flock. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. And so it continues and continues. Maybe you could read Deuteronomy chapter 28 later this afternoon. But all this physical blessing in the physical land of Israel that Israel was promised if they obeyed, that was just an earthly picture of a greater heavenly reality that is given to those who trust in Jesus. Jesus radically changes the place of blessing from earth to heaven. The place of that physical blessing. that comes from God. And the timing of that physical blessing from God from now to the future. Listen to how he does this in Matthew chapter 5, in the blessings that Jesus proclaims in the Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see the shift from earth to heaven? And then the shift from the present to the future. Blessed are those who mourn. So mourning now, for they will be comforted. Comforting in the future. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See that shift from earth to heaven, from the present to the future? And it's therefore better. Because the physical blessings are not on earth where they'll decay, but in heaven where they will remain. They're not in the present that will pass away, but in the future that will never pass away. And these are the physical blessings that are offered in Christ. And the spiritual blessings are here and now. The spiritual blessings of having God's Spirit within us. And having God's promise go before us. These are the blessings that are ours for all who trust in Jesus. We need to understand God's blessing. But we also need to understand God's curse. We have not just the beginning of verse 26. See, I'm setting before you today a blessing. And the beginning of verse 27, the blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God. But we've got this, the second half of verse 26, a blessing and a curse. We've got verse 28, the curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. It's not just the blessing that begins in Genesis, the curse begins there too. If blessing is God's spontaneous and immediate response to creating that which is good, curse is his immediate response to that which is evil. As our first parents rebelled, as soon as human sins, God curses. And we read that in Genesis chapter 3. And ever since that chapter of the Bible, with our first parents, there have been two stances that God has towards people in the world. People who are under his blessing and people who are under his curse. It's what he warned even in Genesis chapter 2, that there were two trees, one representing his blessing, one representing his curse. And then ever since, there have been people under his blessing, Abel, and those under his curse, Cain. Those inside the ark under his blessing, those destroyed by the flood under his curse, Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, Israel and Egypt. And the same is true today. We are either under God's blessing or we are under God's curse. And the same will be true forever. It's not just the beginning of the Bible, but the end of the Bible says this. Revelation chapter 21. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur." This is the second death. Blessing and curse stretch before us into eternity. And so we desperately need to know. Am I under God's blessing? and have an eternity of God's favorable presence towards me is something I can hope for with a certain hope, or am I under God's curse? Desperately needing to be restored into his people and brought into his blessing. Otherwise facing an eternity outside of the presence of God to do good to me. Now you might be saying, Mike, this sounds very oversimplified. Don't we live in a world that's a little bit more nuanced than that? A world that's not just black and white, but shades of many colors in between. Sophisticated, not simple. Well, there are some things that we should have a really sophisticated and complex understanding of that Christians seem to be getting wrong a lot of the time. You know, particularly if you're on Twitter. Christians seem to think that on this or that political issue, there's a very clear view that all Christians should take on this. And actually, often these matters are very, very complex. But there are some things that are binary, very stark. And to muddy the waters and to pretend that it's just all a big spectrum would be deeply unkind when there is stretching before us an eternity of God's favorable presence and an eternity of God's punishment. And people are heading to one or other eternity. And to suggest that most people are just somewhere in between that would be incredibly unkind. We live in a culture, don't we, that is increasingly casual. You know, I'm sure no one would have been standing behind this pulpit 70 years ago with an untucked shirt and no tie. And there's lots of good things about casual cultures. You know, it plays against sort of formalism where you think if you're wearing a shirt and tie, you must be right. No. But there are some dangers in casual culture that thinks that we can just be casual about everything. We cannot be casual about God. Because we are either under his blessing or under his curse. And we'll be under one of those forever. And therefore, we desperately need to know how can we be under, which one of those will be under, and how can we know? And perhaps you were reading these verses in Deuteronomy 11, verses 26 to 28, and you're depressed. Because he says here, the blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and the curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn away, turn from the way that I'm commanding you today and followed other gods which you've not known. And you say, honestly, I'm in verse 28, not verse 27. I can name to you this week many other gods that I've worshipped. The God of wanting the blessings of other people. The God of status or possessions. And many of the commandments of God that I've disobeyed. We've already confessed together, haven't we, as Claudia led us, ways in which we've disobeyed God's commands. And this is why, as we read through the law, these first five books of the Bible, we must not read through them thinking that the way in which we get God's blessings is the way that it's held out in this covenant that he gave to Israel. Now, the commandments of God demonstrated to Israel that they deserve God's curse, not his blessing. And it's not because Israel was worse than us, it's because Israel is just like us. We too deserve God's curse, his punishment, not his blessing, his goodness towards us. Keep a finger, please, in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and turn with me to Galatians and chapter 3. My friends, if you haven't been paying attention, this is the time to really pay attention, because this is how we can know that we can be under God's blessing forever. Yes, we all deserve God's curse. And if we had to find blessing through God's law, we are without hope, but there is hope in Jesus. So on page 1169, Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, and then he quotes from a little bit later on in Deuteronomy, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. That's what we all deserve, isn't it? Not one of us have kept God's law perfectly. Nowhere near. So clearly, verse 11, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Do you see that? There's no hope if you think that you will get blessing from God by doing things for God. There's no hope for you. But there is hope in Jesus. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a pole. We deserve God's punishment, God's curse. Jesus is the only one who continued to live perfectly under God's law. So he deserved God's blessing. And at the cross, this great exchange takes place where Jesus takes our curse so that we might have his blessing. Now, perhaps you're someone who follows a different religion here. You're most welcome to be here. People from any religion and none are always welcome here at our services. And let me just speak into those other religions briefly. There's much truth, many good things in many of the world's religion. We know this as Christians because often other religions agree on matters of morality. Sometimes on matters of as to whether there's just one God. But in no other religion is any other place provided for God's curse to fall for lawbreakers so that it won't fall on us. Whatever good there is in other religions, there's no savior like Jesus, who can move you from the place of being under God's curse that we all deserve to being under God's blessing that Jesus alone deserves. For that salvation, you need Jesus, whatever your religious background. And you can come to him and put your trust in him even today. We desperately need to understand God's blessing and God's curse. And to understand particularly that there is only God's blessing eternally for those who trust in Jesus. And then once we've understood it, point two, we need to proclaim it. We don't just need to understand God's blessing and God's curse. We need to proclaim God's blessing and his curse. Turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's pick it up in verse 29. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land you're entering to possess, you are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessings, and on Mount Ebal the curses. As you know, these mountains are across the Jordan westward towards the setting sun, near the great trees of Moreh, in the territory of those Canaanites living in the Arabah, in the vicinity of Gilgal. Now there's three important things to note about this event of proclaiming blessings from Mount Gerizim and curses from Mount Ebal. The first thing has got to do with geography. I went to the valley between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal just this week on Google Earth. I encourage you to do the same thing. Type in Mount Ebal to Google Earth and fly there. You can literally start at Twine Baptist Church. You get picked up and you get flown into the valley and then click on 3D. As you look from above, you see two mountains with a valley in between. But the mountains are shaped like this. And then as you see in 3D, these two places in front of the mountains are like two amazing natural amphitheaters. And it means if you stand on the bottom of the valley, you've got one amphitheater on one side, Mount Gerizim to the south, and then another natural amphitheater on the other side, Mount Ebal to the north. And you've got if you're standing in the middle, Mount Gerizim is about 500 meters south of you. It's a narrow valley. And if you're looking northwards, Mount Ebal is 500 meters north of you. And this actually happened. You can read in the book of Joshua that once they conquered the land, they went there, and Joshua went and he proclaimed blessings from Mount Gerizim and then curses from Mount Ebal. And half the nation was closer to Mount Ebal and the other half to Mount Gerizim, but they could all hear everything, the way the geography works. Well, why have this strange ritual? It meant that the whole nation had to gather in one place, actually right in the center of the land. It says here in our text that it is westward from the Jordan. It's about halfway west from the Jordan to the Mediterranean. And it's also about halfway in the land between north and south. It's in the area that is called Samaria in the New Testament. We're going to get onto that later. So when Jesus was walking from Jerusalem up to his hometown of Nazareth, he would go through this area. Right in the middle of the country, God's blessings and curses were to be proclaimed to the people in the valley from these two mountains that were diametrically opposed to each other. Why? Well, because they needed this memory of hearing that from God there is blessing, there is curse, and that his blessing and his curse are diametrically opposed to each other. And they had to be in the situation where they were under God's blessing. It was a massive visual aid that God was giving them. Because it is two diametrically opposed lives that we can live under God's blessing or God's curse. That there are some areas that are not nuanced in our lives. That this was impressed upon us as a family when Arsenal were playing Fulham. Where some of the family, including my dear wife, support Fulham. And some of the family, including me, who support Arsenal. And so, you know, when that first goal went in from Fulham, there were cheers from some and despondent faces from others. And when the equaliser went in, some of us were a bit happier. "You're not singing anymore," we said to the Fulham fans. And then when that 86th minute winner for Arsenal went in, well, there was rejoicing in the Arsenal side, as of course there ought to have been from the beginning of the game. When Gabriel can a Portuguese person help me pronounce his name? Magalhães? Yeah. I was hoping to hear lots of Portuguese voices singing out his name to the congregation. But that's what happens in a football team, isn't it? You support one side or the other. You pick a side. And your hopes and joys rise and fall with the score. And, you know, for Arsenal at the moment, our hopes have been rising quite a bit during this season. But I wonder if you realize that God is like that too. Not that he supports Arsenal rather than Fulham. I can't claim that, sadly. But infinitely more importantly, there are those people for whom he is at this moment on their side. And there are those people for whom he is at this moment against them. And we stand in the middle. And we need to ask, which of these is being proclaimed over us at the moment? Are we standing at the foot of Mount Gerizim, hearing God proclaiming his blessings over us in Jesus Christ? Or are we standing at the foot of Mount Ebal, hearing as we stand on our own two feet, still holding on to our own sin, trying to deal with ourselves, hearing God's curse proclaimed over us? My friend, if that is you, you are being called to the other mountain in Jesus. To turn around and to walk to the mountain of the blessings of Christ. That's what the geography of those mountains teaches us. But as well as the geography, there's a history. Genesis, he didn't just mention the mountains. He mentioned the great trees of Moreh. Now, if you know your Bible really well, you'll know that those trees have been mentioned before in a chapter of the Bible that is all to do with the blessing of God. Now, don't turn there now, but this is Genesis chapter 12. Remember when we did the overview series on the first five books of the Bible? This was a key passage. Because this passage showed that God was committed to and promising to bless his people. So as God promises blessings to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, I will bless you, I will make your name great, you will be a blessing, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. In that same chapter, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 6, we read, Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Remember, we're reminded of that as well in our reading, Deuteronomy. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who'd appeared to him. What an encouragement to Israel that as blessings and curses are being proclaimed through two mountains, it's at the very place where God has promised that he will bless. And that there will be a blessing for his people. Because if you're hearing those words, you'd think, but we are commandment breakers. There's going to be just curse and no blessing. But God has promised that he will bless. And he will bless through his offspring. And that offspring would be Jesus. And then all who have faith in Jesus. And Jesus makes this clear himself, because there's not just a geography and a history to this location, there's also a future. That Jesus himself will visit this location as he is traveling from Judea to Galilee. And he stops by a well and he speaks to a Samaritan woman. And after a conversation where he's made it clear that he knows a lot more about her life than she should imagine he would be able to, she realizes he's a prophet. And she asks a question. Where should we worship God? On this mountain? This Mount Gerizim, where Abraham worshipped, where Joshua brought the people of God to worship, or in Jerusalem? And then Jesus says, the time is coming and has now come where you shall worship neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. But the true worshippers of God will worship in spirit and in truth. For those are the kind of worshippers that God desires. Why? Because the mountains of Gerizim and Ebal have been done away with in the blessings of Jesus. Even Jerusalem, that mountain of the law, have been done away with in Jesus. And now, at the foot of the cross of Jesus, there was blessings for all who believe. who themselves would become temples of the Holy Spirit and worshippers in spirit and in truth. Well, if the future is blessing in Jesus, does this mean that we do away with these categories of blessing and curse? No, Jesus doesn't. We heard how Jesus proclaimed blessings in the Beatitude 14 times. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus doesn't proclaim blessing, he proclaims curse, as he says, woe is to you, rather than blessed are you. We love John chapter 3, verse 16, don't we? That we heard earlier in the service. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But do we remember also the last verse in that chapter, John chapter 3, verse 36? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. There is blessing through faith in Jesus, but there remains a curse. God's disfavor that brings punishment. God's wrath, as we read about in John 3:36, for those who will not trust in Jesus. Next door neighbor of mine a few years ago asked me, trying to work out what I was like. He was a sort of occasional churchgoer. And he said, are you one of those hellfire and brimstone kinds of preachers? I said, if you mean do I delight telling people they're going to hell, no, I'm not. I try to be like the 19th century preacher D.L. Moody, who said you should never preach about hell without a tear in your eye. But if you mean, am I someone who would ever talk about hell and warn people about hell? Yeah. I believe that hell is real. And if hell is real, it would be incredibly unkind not to warn people about it. The most loving person who ever walked this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke about hell more than anyone else in the New Testament or in the Bible at all. Rico Tyers tells a story of a rugby teammate who once got hold of a tape of his sermons, which shows how old the story is. A friend had given him a tape of one of Rico's sermons in which Rico had talked about hell. And this rugby mate of Rico's came up to Rico and said, you must really hate me. And Rico said, why? He said, well, I heard you in a sermon talking about hell. So you, I think, believe that I'm going there. And you never warned me. And we've been friends for ages. We need to think about those we're sharing the gospel with. Do we have those two realities of God's eternal blessing and God's eternal curse in our minds when we're sharing the gospel? If we do, we will, at some point, tell them that without Jesus, they are under God's curse forever. If we love them. It may not be in the first conversation we have with them, but if we're talking to people over a long period of time about Jesus, we must warn them. And then we must hold up Jesus as the one who calls them from blessing, from curse to his blessing, because he has taken the curse at the cross. We must understand the difference between God's blessing and his curse. We must proclaim God's blessing and his curse. And then we must choose to live under God's blessing and not his curse. Have a look down at verse 31. You're about to cross the Jordan to enter and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. When you've taken it over and are living there, be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws I'm setting before you today. Now, as we've said already, obedience is not the way to receive God's blessing. Jesus is the way to receive God's blessing. But obedience is the way to live in God's blessing. It shows trust, doesn't it? We trust in Jesus for our salvation, that he took our curse on the cross. And then we trust in Jesus for our direction, trusting that all his commands for us are good and we will walk in his ways. And there are two tragedies that we need to avoid. The first tragedy is to remain under God's curse and to assume that we're under God's blessing. A complacency that thinks we're fine with God. Maybe because of how we live our lives. Maybe because we're religious. Maybe because of the family that we came from that follows Jesus. But have we ever put our trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord? Jesus himself, in the same sermon in which he pronounced those blessings at the beginning, near the end of his sermon, he says this in Matthew chapter 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" We're not just to assume that we're under God's blessing. No, we are to come to Jesus to receive God's blessing, to come and trust him as Savior and Lord. That is the only way to receive God's blessing, is to trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And if you haven't done that, you can do that today. Turn away from a life trusting in yourself. Turn to Jesus and put your trust in him. It would be a tragedy to remain under God's curse and assume that you're under God's blessing. But there's another tragedy. The tragedy that you are under God's blessing, but you live as if you're under God's curse. You have no joy. You maybe somehow in the back of your mind still have this view of God as that headmaster just trying to ruin your fun or just trying to pronounce curse on you. Now remember that geography. God is committed to blessing his people. Remember the geography of the cross. God has gone so far to bless his people that he gave his only son for us. He is that committed to blessing his people. So if your trust is in Jesus, don't live as if you're still under God's curse. No, rejoice that you're under God's blessing. I wonder if you think God is rather like my socks. Have you seen these kinds of socks? Where they look on the surface of it that they're just kind of, they're one thing. These look like very smart plain black socks, don't they? But actually underneath, maybe some of you at the back can't see, there's a picture of Gonzo, the Muppet, underneath the socks. That do we think God is like that? That he's holding out his son and saying, come to Jesus for blessing, but we're thinking, but really he's hiding that under the surface, he's really going to try to trick me out. Leave me trapped under his curse. Pray for our children's ministry the coming week with the Holiday Club as our children look at Luke chapter 15, where three times we are told of the joy that there is in heaven for one sinner who repents. God is committed to blessing his people. And he rejoices when someone puts their trust in Jesus and steps out of his curse into his blessing, into the life that we were designed to have from the very beginning, living under God's blessing. And if we are those people, we're to live like it. It was such a joy this morning to be near the front of the congregation, hearing God's people sing out with joy knowing that we are under God's blessing. That will be one of the things that will happen in a congregation that knows this blessing. We will sing out with joy when we gather together and sing God's praises, because we deserve to be under God's curse, but we've been brought into God's blessing. We'll do that when we're together, and then as we leave these doors, we will walk with joy. People will be asking us, what is the reason for that joy? What is the reason for the hope you have, knowing your circumstances? And we'll be able to say, I was under God's curse, and I'm under God's blessing because of God's Son. Do you know the blessing of God? The answer is the same as the answer to the question, do you know the Son of God? Do you know and love and rejoice in Jesus, who went to the cross and conquered death, declaring that all those curses are gone forever for those who trusted in Jesus, and there is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus? Instead, there is life under God's blessing. For now, still living in a world that is under God's curse, still experiencing pain and persecution and mourning, but knowing for certain that beyond this world stretches for us for eternity God's presence, God's approving presence upon us for our everlasting good. Shall we bow our heads to pray? Father, forgive us for the times where we have lived as if the way to get blessing is to grab things in this world for ourselves. Even at times where we have trampled on others to grab them. Lord, open our eyes each day to see Jesus, the one who drank to the full measure the cup of your wrath, upon whom your curse was poured, who deserved only your everlasting blessing, and in that action he offered that blessing to us. Lord, lift up our eyes to him that we might see our hope and our confidence of your blessing now and forever. And that hope and confidence would give us an unshakable joy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.